All right, let's build a proper old-school rave pressure fill in Ableton Live 12, the kind that feels like jungle attitude, ragga energy, and drum and bass weight all locked into one tight little burst of chaos. The big idea here is that this is not just a drum fill, we're building a short energy event, something that says, hold tight, breaks the groove open for a second, then slams the tune back into motion with more force than before. If you get this right, the fill becomes a reusable tool you can drop into the end of a drop, the end of a breakdown, or the middle of a phrase to keep the track alive. First thing, think in phrases, not random moments. Open your project in arrangement view and work inside an 8-bar section. That matters a lot in drum and bass because the listener is already feeling the phrasing. So instead of placing a fill wherever it seems exciting, frame it properly. A really strong structure is this. Bars 1 to 4 are your full groove. Bars 5 to 6 add a slight variation. Bar 7 starts to destabilize the rhythm, and bar 8 becomes the fill peak, then the restart. That setup gives you a clear energy curve. Hint, destabilize, spike, reset. That's the motion you want. Now let's build the actual fill from your existing material, not from scratch. That's important because old-school pressure feels authentic when the fill sounds like it belongs to the tune. Duplicate your main break or drum loop to a new track called something like Fill Drums. If you're using Audito, you can chop the break directly. If you're using MIDI one-shots, keep the same drum source and reprogram the final bar. On that fill drum track, start shaping the sound with some stock Ableton devices. Put saturator first. Keep the drive fairly gentle, maybe 2 to 5 dB, and switch soft clip on. That gives you a bit of grit and makes the fill feel more urgent without trashing the drums. After that, add drum bus. You don't need to go crazy here. A little drive, maybe 5 to 15%, can add punch. If the kick is already heavy in your main track, keep the boom very low or off. Then bring the transients up a bit, maybe plus 5 to plus 15, so the last hit of the fill has more snap. At the end of the chain, add EQ 8. If your sub is staying on the bass track, high pass the fill somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz. That keeps the low end clean. If the break feels boxy, dip a little around 300 to 500 Hz. You're not trying to make the fill massive in every frequency range. You're trying to make it clear and punchy. Now edit the last bar into a proper little pressure burst. Keep the first half of the bar relatively open. Then increase the density on the last two beats. A classic move is a snare or ghost snare anticipation. Then one extra kick or break stab in the final quarter note before the drop. If you're working in simpler with sliced break hits, this is where you can get really expressive. Put a tight snare slice on beat 3 or the offbeat after it, then add a short kick or tom hit near the last 16th, and finish with a quick little break roll into the downbeat. The key is that the break should sound like it's talking back. That call and response feel is a huge part of old-school rave pressure. Next, add the ragga element. This is where the fill starts to get attitude. Create a new audio track called Ragga Hit and drag in a vocal phrase, a shouter line, or even your own recorded tag. The main thing here is not long lyrics. You want attitude, rhythm, and character. Use warp so it locks to tempo. If it's a longer phrase, Complex Pro usually works well. If it's just chopped ad-lib style hits, Beats Mode can keep it rough and rhythmic. Place the vocal near the end of bar 7 or on the last 2/8 notes before the drop. You can chop it into 2 to 4 short pieces rather than letting it run long. That often feels more authentic to ragga jungle anyway. Now shape that vocal with stock effects. An auto filter is a good start. High pass it around 120 to 200 Hz so it stays out of the low end. Add a bit of resonance if you want it to speak more sharply, then automate the cutoff opening as the fill develops. That gives you movement without needing a huge effect stack. You can add echo too, but keep it controlled. Try 1/8 or 1/4 note timing, with modest feedback around 15 to 35%, and keep the dry wet low enough that the vocal still feels punchy. Reverb can work as well, but use it like space, not like a wash. Short decay, low dry wet. The goal is pressure, not blur. A good trick here is to treat the vocal like a comment. If the drums are sparse, let the vocal get a little more animated. If the vocal is active, keep the drums more minimal. That contrast is what keeps the fill readable. Don't let every element shout at once, or the whole thing gets muddy. Now for the bass pickup. This is where the fill starts pulling the track forward. Duplicate your bass track or make a separate fill bass lane. If it's MIDI, keep the same bass sound but shorten the note lengths and create a little pickup rhythm in bars 7 and 8. You can repeat the last two notes, pitch one up by a semitone or whole tone, and leave the sub out for the very last beats of the restart, can hit harder. If the bass is audio, you can get a great effect by resampling the last bar of the bass line, then slicing it to a new MIDI track and triggering only the most aggressive fragments. That gives you a bass blur, which is very useful in jungle and darker DNB. It should feel like movement and pressure, not a melody line. For processing, saturator works again really well here. Just a little drive, maybe 3 to 8 dB. With soft clip-on, add auto filter and automate the cutoff upward during the fill tail if you want that lifting sensation. And if you're using a sub layer, keep it centered and mono with utility. Low end should stay locked, always. Now let's add the rave stab and some filtered noise. This is the part that really brings in that old school pressure feeling. Create a MIDI track called Rave Stab and use a short, bright stab sample or synth hit. Put it through auto filter and automate the low pass so it closes down a bit during the phrase, then opens up at the fill. That inhale and exhale motion is classic. A little saturator or overdrive can help, but keep it subtle. You want bite, not harshness. If you want a bit of extra movement, add a short echo, but filter it so it doesn't crowd the low mids. A short reversed crash or noise hit can also work beautifully. Put it right before the restart so it peaks at the handoff. That final handoff is super important. In fact, more often than not, the last hit before the drop matters more than the entire fill. That's the moment that says, and now, back to the groove. Here's a really effective call and response idea. Vocal chop on the offbeat of 3, stab on beat 4, then a drum roll or extra break movement on the last 16 THS. That conversation between the elements gives the fill proper rave culture energy. Timing is everything here, so don't make it too perfect. Old school pressure usually feels better when it has a little human wobble. You can use the groove pool on the break if needed and try a swing somewhere around 54 to 58%. Nudge ghost notes slightly late, maybe 5 to 15 milliseconds. Keep the main restart tight, though. The contrast between the loose fill and the dead-on downbeat is what gives you impact. For MIDI, you can just nudge notes manually. For audio, use transient edits or clip start adjustments. Maybe let one percussion hit come slightly early for urgency, and let a ghost snare sit a touch late for weight. Then make sure the main snare or kick that resets the groove lands right on the grid, or very close to it. Now let's talk automation, because this is where the fill starts breathing like a real transition instead of a pile of samples. Instead of automating everything separately, create movement on a few shared points. That keeps it clean and makes the whole fill feel like one system. A really good move is to automate the filter opening across the fill layers. You can also bring the reverb dry wet up slightly on the last hit, or raise the delay feedback on just one vocal word or stab. Another classic trick is to dip the drum bus by 1 to 3 dB on the final eighth note before the restart, then snap it back. That tiny dip creates space, and when the drums return, they feel bigger. If you want a more modern, darker DNB twist, narrow the stereo image slightly before the drop and open it back up after the restart. That works especially well if your fill has some wide vocal or stab processing. Just remember to keep the sub mono no matter what. That low-end discipline is non-negotiable. It's also a smart idea to route the fill elements to a dedicated fill bus. Group the drums, vocals, bass pickup, stab, and noise layers into one bus so you can control the whole fill without messing up the main arrangement. On the bus, use EQ8 to high pass around 100 to 150 Hz if the bass is handling the low end. If the vocal or stab gets a bit sharp, make a gentle cut around 2.5 to 4.5 kHz. Then add a glue compressor with a light touch, maybe 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction, just enough to bind the fill together. Use utility for gain trim and quick mono checking if needed. A big mistake people make is overfilling the fill. If every beat is busy, the restart loses its power. Leave space for the downbeat to punch through. Another common error is letting the sub continue straight through the fill. Usually, the low end should briefly clear, reshape, or duck so the restart has something to return into. And be careful with reverb. Too much wash kills the rhythm and makes ragged chop sound soft instead of sharp. If you want to go a step further, try a few advanced variations. A half bar fake out can be nasty in a good way. Build the fill like it's about to restart. Then cut everything for a beat and let the drop slam in after the silence. That silence can hit harder than another drum hit. You can also try a reverse response fill, where the biggest accent comes first and then the fill thins out into percussion and vocal fragments. That gives a more chaotic old-school feel. Or split the fill into two phases, vocals and stabs in the first half of the bar, then break roll pressure in the second half. That creates a clearer shape and stops the fill from just becoming one continuous rush. Here's the coaching note I'd really want you to remember. The best fill has one dominant character. If the break, vocal, stab, and bass are all trying to dominate at full strength, the result gets blurry. Pick one lead idea, then let the other elements support it. Also, if you're not sure whether the fill is strong enough, mute layers one by one. The best version is often the one that still works with fewer parts. A great 15-minute practice exercise is to build one reusable fill right now. Pick an 8-bar phrase, duplicate your break, chop the last bar into 4 to 6 hits with a fast roll at the end, add one ragga vocal phrase chopped into 2 or 3 pieces, duplicate the last 2 bass notes into a pickup, add a reversed crash into the restart, group it all to a fill bus, then add EQ, saturator, and glue compressor. Automate one filter opening and one delay spike, then bounce it to audio and test it in context.